You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Boys, the Nebraska football team seems intent on making us look like idiots.
Yeah.
Because last week, our whole episode was about how Nebraska can win any game left on its schedule. We didn't say they would win every game left on the schedule, but that they could win any game left on the schedule if they played like they did against Ohio State. And of the games left on the schedule, UCLA was clearly the most winnable game. Coming in at 2-5, first year head coach, games in Lincoln. And, you know, when it comes down to it, guys, when it comes to Nebraska football, you cannot trust anyone. That's what it comes down to. Coach, yep. Like, you can't trust, and I'm not saying people are malicious or lying, but you can't trust when they say, I don't care if they had a good practice. No. I don't care what that was talked about in the locker room. I don't care if Ohio State was the first time they had a championship mentality, because the dog shit that we saw on Saturday was the opposite of a championship mentality.
Yeah.
So you can literally
chuck
just
all
trust
that out the window.
Chuck it all out the window until further notice. It doesn't matter.
No.
And I think Husker fans, Husker Nation, common fans have been in prove it mode for a long time. Don't get me wrong, but I think we kind of allow ourselves. Now imagine if we had won that game, we'd be 6-3 right now. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't put money on
bowl eligible,
and I wouldn't put money on us winning all of the last three games. But we'd be talking about the sky's the limit, with 9-3 still in play. Mm-hmm. And instead, like, now we're like, do we get to 6 wins?
Yeah.
So hold on. Sorry. We're going to get to all of this. We're going to break all this down. Before we get off the rails, we're going to start on a much more positive note.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want to start my day like this, TJ. It's early. Right.
Yesterday was the first ever in-person common fan tailgate, and it was outstanding. So there's a bright spot for us. It was so, thank you to everyone who came out. I mean, we had listeners who we didn't even know were coming, who came by and introduced themselves. And we had Evan Bland, friend of the program, stop by.
Yes.
Sure.
Ken and Scott from the Generation Red podcast swing by. Great to see you guys.
Good looking out, fellas.
Everyone check out their show as well. Former Secretary of Defense, friend of the program, Chuck Hagel. And Chuck and his son, the secretary and his son, Ziller, hung out with us for quite a while. And he was telling Columbus, St. Bonaventure, football war stories and, all kinds of fun stuff. So it was really, really fun to see those guys. And then just a lot of friends of ours, a lot of Burkle family members were there, a lot of my extended family. I had two uncles and an aunt and a couple aunts, and I'm trying not to leave anybody out. A bunch of cousins came by. Yep. So that was super cool. And then just tons of our friends, either going back to our high school buddies that we talk about all the time, the fantasy football group, or, friends of Matt's or friends of Jeff's, or, just different friends of just different, parts of our lives, I guess. Yeah. I would say
all came together in one spot.
These guys, you guys, you all know who you are, but I always say like, I'll listen to a podcast once if my friend is doing it and I think it might be of interest, but these guys have stuck with us and continued to listen. Hopefully that means we're putting something out there that's marginally interesting at least. But we love all you guys, whether the Pie High guys or some of the other crew. I'm never sure if people want their name spoken on a podcast. So we try to be careful about that. But seriously, we love you all. The turnout was outstanding. And then we had fantastic brats and burgers from Certified Piedmontese.
Yes. Good job. Thank you. Good job. Thank you, Joey Meats. Love your grill meats.
Thank good you. Good job, grilling, grill master. Good job, Owens.
Yeah, Owens did most of the grilling.
Hey,
I stepped in at the end. All right,
yeah, I was gonna take a turn, and then we had issues with the propane tank. So that's I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
that's Jeff did that because Jeff determined we had enough meat, turned off the grill, and then when he went to turn it back on, I think there was a little bit of user error. I think.
There might have been.
Thanks for nothing, Jeff. Yeah, no, but no, we've had this partnership with Certified Piedmontese. They're fantastic. They supplied all the beef for the tailgate. Joey Meats stopped by from CP Beef. And as you know, common fans, you can go to cpbeef.com right now or anytime and get 25% off any eligible item from cpbeef.com using the promo code common fan, all one word, common fan. I can't tell you guys how many people at the tailgate yesterday were like, oh my God, these burgers are unbelievable. Like seriously, couldn't believe
because
how delicious, and we'll give credit to the grill master, of course, but also
the high quality,
I wasn't talking to you, Jeff, the high quality beef from Certified Piedmontese is just second to none, and you can have it at your own home. You can get it delivered right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states if you just go to cpbeef.com. Furthermore, you can get 25% off using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word. We talked to the people at the tailgate next to us. They're like, we order this stuff all the time. We didn't know about this discount. So now they're going to be using the Common Fan discount. Everybody's going to be doing it. The holidays are coming up. If you're like me, you don't like turkey on Thanksgiving, you want to have steak, go to cpbeef.com.
Get some ribeyes.
Get some ribeyes. Christmas is coming up. Who doesn't like a good ribeye at Christmas? CPBeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN. Check it out. You can also go to your local, you know where we went to pick that beef up? Our local Mercado Butcher Shop. That's where we picked
it
up.
There you go.
Yes, it's on North 84th Street in Lincoln. There's a couple of locations in Omaha. So you can also go to your local Mercado Butcher Shop. Get all the butcher cuts, all the raw cuts, but also some hot food ready to eat, ready to go over your lunch hour or wherever it might be. So you all know Certified Piedmontese is powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan podcast. And we are just thrilled with the partnership and so thankful for their support of the tailgate yesterday. Also, Charlie Colon, friend of the program. He's been on with us a couple of times. He could have his own podcast. He's such an engaging and friendly guy. We love Charlie so much. And he owns Chick-fil-A at South Point. And we said, hey, we want you to stop by the tailgate. We'd love to see you. Did not ask anything of him. He said, I'll donate some food for you guys. And we're like, oh my gosh, you don't have to do that. Whatever. He showed up with a couple huge panfuls of chicken tenders or chicken fingers, a couple huge things of chicken nuggets, a couple huge things of mac and cheese, Chick-fil-A sauce. He rolled over on his gator, by the way.
Yeah, which is a boss, total boss
move. Yes, he did.
Total boss move. And he had a driver. He had a driver. Yep.
He had a driver.
So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that made the Chick-fil-A made my kids' day. They were just
the mac and cheese and the chicken.
It's phenomenal. It's so damn
and
good.
And they love the Chick-fil-A sauce. He brought a few bottles of that stuff.
Yeah. Yep. So thank you so much, Charlie. You are absolutely the man. He does so much in the community. I think people don't even know about. He's always feeding people, which is super cool. He does a lot with the university and around the community. So thank you again to Charlie. And then shout out to a relatively new partner of ours, White Elm Brewing.
Yeah,
I'm wearing the White Elm Brewing hat here, and I got this sweet shirt, property of White Elm Brewing Company Athletic Department. And I'm feeling more athletic after I drank their beer, and I'm wearing this shirt. I'm feeling more athletic, guys. And I do, Matt Rule. I have eligibility left. Okay, just so you know,
get out there.
So I'm ready. I'm ready to go play some defense, or actually go play some offense. More importantly. So thank you to White Elm. They supplied a keg of delicious Pilsner beer that I think everyone we went through the whole thing. So clearly
people enjoyed it.
Pilsner. 720 Van Dorn Street. White Elm has a really cool like tap room bar thing going on. When I went in to get the keg the other day, they had a food truck out front, and the place was packed. Great beer there, White Elm Brewing.
Nice place.
So truly, we don't want to belabor the point because if you were not there, you probably don't care. But hopefully we'll be doing this at least once a year, maybe more than once a year. But just so fun to see, it's really a community, a common fan community of people who like to watch the show or listen to the show and engage with us on social media, engage with us on YouTube, whatever it may be. So we love you all. We're thankful for all of you. We really love doing this, and we hopefully will be doing it for a long time, unless, you know, one or all of us has heart attacks watching this terrible Nebraska team.
Oh.
So let's pivot to the game, boys.
Do we have to?
No, I don't think we need to go.
Right?
I don't
talking about the tailgate.
I know. I don't think we need to do the blow by blow because it was so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And UCLA moved the ball early and often. Like, they didn't seem to have a problem moving the ball. And like, we'll talk about the offense. The offense is a major, major problem. And it would be nice to say, you know what, the defense had an off day. The offense needs to go win us a game. That would, like, yesterday would have been a game like that, right? Like,
sure.
the D is disappointing to me because it's kind of what this program hangs their hat on.
Yeah.
And they were so dominant against Ohio State, and UCLA came in as the worst rushing team in the entire nation.
Yeah. So naturally we decided to just try to throw the ball all the time in the first half.
Well, they had the worst. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. The D is just disappointing because they buttoned it up in the second half. I think they only gave up 7 points in the second half, and that was after the offense couldn't convert a fourth down at midfield, so they left them with a short field. Mm-hmm. And then the other score UCLA had in the second half was that pick six, which is really disappointing. Ugh. So they did button it up in the second half, and again, the defense only gave up 20 points. Occasionally, you would like to believe your offense can go win you that game. Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we can't, like, nobody's off the hook here. So, and we're going to talk about the offense. I just feel like we're always bitching about the offense. So I want to start with the defense stem. But like, it's not like the defense, the mindset of the team overall, they didn't, like, you're playing at home. Your bowl eligibility is on the line. You've
Where
got
are
a team.
You? Yeah.
Where's got a team at? You can beat. It reminded me of the West Wing season 3. When President Bartlett authorizes the assassination of this foreign leader, and it's General Fitzwallace is sitting there and he's saying, I've got an enemy I can kill. I've got an, and like, I know where he is. I've got an enemy I can kill. And that's how I was thinking about UCLA. This is an enemy we can kill. This isn't Ohio State. This isn't a surprisingly good Indiana team. This isn't an Illinois team that's been ranked all season long. This is a 2-5 team. And I don't care who they've played.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Maybe they're a little better than their record shows because they have had a bear of a schedule.
Yeah, they have.
But first year head coach, they're 2-5. And I don't care that they're coming off a bye week. I think Rule made a comment yesterday. They showed some things we hadn't seen before on film. How long have we been hearing that?
Yeah.
That goes back to Frost. Like, do we ever do that? Do we ever show the team?
Right.
The other team.
When are we ever showing something, like, that somebody wasn't expecting?
You're just admitting you're getting out coached. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And so it's so, so frustrating. Sorry, I'll shut up. What do you guys, and we're going to talk about the offense in a minute, but do you guys have any reaction to that?
Mine is just to your point, TJ, like, we're at home. It's an important bowl eligibility game. I guess I don't know the behind the scenes makeup of how things work, but I said it already. Where are you? Like, where's your head at? How are you not up and ready for this game? I just don't, it's baffling to me. I don't know if you guys have an opinion. On, like, it's because it's young men and they're just up and down from week to week, but how are you not ready for this type of game? And that maybe speaks to coaching and behind the scenes and getting your players ready and hyped and having them understand the moment and what's at stake.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I don't know, Jeff. It doesn't make any sense to me personally.
Yeah.
But I've said it, you know, I've said it a few weeks ago that I think this team is still in a place where their best shot is if they can draw first blood and throw the first punch. And that first drive, even though they only ended in 3 points, UCLA 14 plays, 8 minute drive. And then we come out and go 3-out.
And a disgusting drive. Like, just terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
And then UCLA follows that up with 11 play, 85 yard drive. 6.5 minutes off the clock, and it's 10-0, and there goes, and that's the first quarter.
Yeah, first quarter was over and done in a matter of.
I think we had
like minutes.
I think when I looked up, Jeff was with me at the game.
Up
at the total yardage thing, we had 2 yards at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah,
2 yards because we only
Insane.
ran three plays, four if you count the punt. Like what?
Yeah.
So UCLA ran 14 plus 11, 25 plays in the first quarter, and we ran
taking
four.
And taking 14:37 off the clock.
Yeah.
So and then, but then you know, then we it's like, okay, like now that, we better get it together. We go down and score, and it's 10-7. And so we're still, it still felt like at a certain level, it's like, okay.
A manageable
like
point.
We're going to get this figured out. But then it just never really seemed to happen.
No.
You know, and UCLA kept converting, like they converted some third downs, like long
Third
downs.
Couldn't get
downs.
Off the field on third down. Their quarterback had some big runs, including a huge one.
And just to like a bigger picture bone to pick, like I know it's all part of the strategy, but how we continue to like just give up these 8 to 10, 11 yards outs because we play off. Like we don't, it just seems like, I don't know if again, not X's and O's, but we're just giving so much cushion on the outside. Yeah. Then it's like, okay, well now it's second and two or it's now it was second 10. Now it's third and one. Cause we just give up that cushion. Like, I don't know. I guess I don't understand the theory. If it's like a bend, don't break thing, like we'll let them catch it. Then we're just going to tackle. Because we do tackle
well. We are. I mean, the defense is physical.
They tackle. They tackle well, but it's like, okay, well, we're going to let them get all the way down into field goal range, and then but then they might complete a pass or like a great catch or something like that, and then we're screwed.
Then they might show something we haven't seen before.
Exactly.
Yep.
Frustrating, man.
To your point, Daniel, they went field goal, touchdown, field goal on their first three drives. And then we forced a couple of punts to end the first half. It was a little bit frustrating. We got the ball back with a little over a minute left in that first half and kind of didn't even try. I mean, I think the first play was a sack, which kind of maybe he was sacked for a loss of 8. So maybe it was best that offense just didn't do anything at that point. But that was a little bit frustrating to see us not even try to get into field goal range. And then, but like, to your point, Matteo, it's 13-7 at that point, and we get the ball to start the half.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, well, let's go down and score. Let's maybe this will be one of those games where we take the lead and just take off.
Yeah.
And we kind of forget the shaky first half, kind of like Purdue, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Nope.
That's not happening.
First play. Pick six.
And that
felt a little bit too much. Like, you know, okay, that's one play, and it's you're down 20-7 after one play, but it felt like 20-7 felt insurmountable to me.
It really did.
The way the offense was going.
Yeah. Well, and then our next possession, we ran 8 plays. We got 2 first downs. We went for it on 4th and 3 so we were on the right, you know, their side of the 50. We went for it on 4th and 3 at the UCLA 42 and didn't get it.
And they're chasing points too. There, I told Jeff like later on the game, like we should have. I mean, look back, like you probably should have kicked the field goal to make it 20-10. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was still really early in the second half. We're 5 minutes into the second half, and you're going for it, and then you'd come up with nothing.
Yeah,
and it's still 20-7.
And then they go, and then they have great field position. They go down and score.
Yeah.
So this 27-7 was like, well, this is not, it almost felt like it happened so quickly. It was like, I think well into the
this
third
is
quarter,
not good
going into, I felt like that crowd was super irritated and annoyed with how they came out, but was still pretty good. And right at the beginning of the second half, I thought the crowd was kind of juiced again. It was kind of like, all right, it's only 13-7. It didn't feel great in the first half, but we get the ball. Here we go. And then the pick six seemed to like,
as it would.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so then we get down 27-7. I mean, hats off to the boys for making a run at it.
Yeah, they didn't give up.
They didn't give up. They fought. The defense forced punts the rest of the way for UCLA.
But I'm so sick of like saying that. Like, I'm so sick of that being like, well, the silver lining is they didn't lay down and die. I'm so sick of that. I'm so sick of like, let's try to find some positives out of this one. Like, it's hard to find them.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, well, and that's what
like pick out a couple of plays here and there where a young guy like Barney made a couple of good catches or something like that. But it's like, God, man, I don't know.
So fast forward.
I'm tired of the A for effort type thing.
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah. Let's talk about a couple series in the second half real quick. But like, well, actually, I want to make a big picture point first. But like that last drive when Harburg took over, he seemed to provide a little spark, by the way. We'll talk about that whole situation. But Harburg took over, and it felt like we got a couple first downs. you had a quarterback who could do something with his legs, which helped. And it was like, maybe, just maybe we'll do this. And I think because we had Johnny Hull, we love him, had missed the extra point.
Yeah.
And so instead of 27-21, it was 27-20. So I'm thinking to myself, if we score, do we just go for two and win this thing? Because like, one, do we trust our kicking game? Two, do we trust this team in overtime?
No.
Do we just try to go for two? But yeah, they had so much trouble scoring close in the red zone, like inside the 10, maybe we don't go for two there.
Yeah.
But regardless, it sort of felt like Harburg might just do this and we will not deserve to win this game, but I will take it. And we're going to celebrate no matter what. And then it ended in like the most Nebraska way ever, where he tried to fit it into a tight
highlight reel interception.
Yeah. Barney got drilled. I don't blame Barney for that. Would have been a really great catch. I don't blame him for not catching it. Somehow the ball bounces off his leg instead of hitting the turf and is intercepted by UCLA to end the and Nebraska. So again, hats off to the Huskers, I guess, for trying. But this the game was kind of the really frustrating series of events was we scored the touchdown to make it 27-14. Black shirts forced a punt, and then Nebraska, we had it at our own 20, and we put a drive together and we got to first and goal at the UCLA 10. Okay. There's 12:16 left in the fourth quarter. There's plenty of time left. And the first play is a 5-yard run by Dante Dowdell. So it's second and goal at the 5. By the way, I hate first and goal at the 10. It's like the worst.
Right.
You know, by the way, because you can't get a first down and you're the furthest away you can be from the end zone. And Nebraska does not seem well suited for them. Then we go. What appeared to be two plays that I think the second and goal at the 5 was that we tried to do the one-on-one in the corner. I hate those. Our guys are not winning as much time. That's not working.
Those like, toss-ups, I hate those.
And the throw looked to be over his head anyway. And people wanted a pass interference. And again, we'll take that call, but like, it's just a bad call. And then the third and goal one was another incompletion that didn't look like it had a chance in hell. And then we go for it at fourth and this is another thing. Go for it at fourth and goal in the 5 and Rello was sacked. You know, I get going for it. We're down 27-14. But again, there's 11 and a half minutes left. What if we kick the field goal there? Here's a way to think about that. If we kick the field goal there, it's 27-17. We ended up scoring another one. And if if we had made the extra point, which we didn't, but we forced another punt, we go down and score to make it 27-20. If we had kicked the field goal and made the extra point, suddenly it's 27-24. So when we're making that last ditch drive, you only need to get in the field goal range. And I feel like that helps the psyche too. So, but again, I get going for points. I kind of see them both. I feel like if it's fourth and goal at like the 1, maybe you go for it, or the 2, the 5, I wouldn't have minded just taking the points there.
Yeah.
So then and then the other thing, guys, so we didn't get it there. The defense forced a punt on 3 plays, which was huge.
Yep.
And then we did score a touchdown. We had it first and 10 at midfield, basically. We go down and score, but let's see what happened. Okay. So we had that great completion to Nayer to get us down to the 9-yard line. And like, we got the ball at the 9 with 6 minutes and 39 seconds left. We didn't score until under 4 minutes. And this whole drive, really, because we're still down 2 touchdowns at this point, mind you, this whole drive, even before we got in the red zone, the crowd was going, we got the ball with 9:31 to go. They were not doing any sort of pace. They were not doing any sort of hurry up. They were like huddling and jogging, you know, subbing guys in and out and huddling up and moving slowly. And the crowd started to get more and more irritated. And the players started like doing this to try to calm the crowd down so they could hear in the huddle, which I totally understand from the player's perspective. But I also understand where the crowd is coming from. We weren't yelling at the players. We're yelling at the coaches.
Yeah.
Let's go score.
Move.
Get it going.
You know?
Yep.
And then they're so inefficient. They're so inept. The offense is first and goal at the 9. And thank God there was a defensive holding penalty. So that got us to first and goal at the UCLA 4.
Yeah.
And then was that, let's see. Then we lost yardage and got to UCLA 8. And then Ryo on second and goal at the 8, Raiola ran for 6 yards. And that's where he got drilled and had to come out of the game. And he was pretty much done for the day at that point. Third and goal at the 2, Harburg ran for 1 yard. Or no, he ran back. He lost. So it's fourth and goal at the three. Oh, that's right. Fourth and goal at the three. And then they call another penalty on UCLA.
Yeah, unsportsmanlike conduct. Two of those in that game bail us out.
It's first and goal at the one. And so we had two penalties. Once we get out to the 9 yard line and first and goal, we had two penalties to give us fresh sets of downs. And then we still don't score until third and goal at the one. I mean, that was just like a great example of everything that frustrates Nebraska fans about this offense, that entire drive. Yeah. It's so hard to move the ball. We're so bad in the red zone. We're so ineffective. We don't run the ball consistently. We're so ineffective at passing the ball. Like all the things, right, came together on that drive. And then, Matteo, you made the point last night after the game when we were hanging out that it felt like for once the college football industrial complex was trying to help Nebraska.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even take it. We couldn't even take the ticket.
Yeah. Bailed out twice. By really questionable flags, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
yeah. I mean,
we're being
we took
honest.
Them.
We'll take for those because we've been on the other side of that too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really felt like a call came in from the Big Ten offices and into the ref's earpiece or something and said, hey, we really would prefer Nebraska to win this game if they can. And no, we can't. We can't even take those gifts and turn them into something.
No. And then, so we score to make it 27-20. Johnny Hull misses the extra point, which special teams vomit.
We're back to that again.
Yeah. And then, the Huskers, we really didn't have a lot of time left. They force a punt with a minute and a half to go, and they have a shot to win it. And the other thing we talked about last night after the game, when we were driving you guys to Grapevine.
It was a great time.
The other thing we talked about was like, I was hoping against hope. Don't get me wrong. And I thought this would be so cool to get to old bowl eligibility this way. No matter how bad they've played, this would be a great way to end it. The crowd will go nuts.
Yeah.
How many times do we win that game? I mean, it's to your point earlier, Matteo. Like when we get behind by more than a touchdown,
forget it.
It feels pretty precarious. But how many times have we gotten the ball down seven or less with somewhere under 4 minutes to go? And we don't even usually make it interesting.
No,
like we don't even get close.
No. Yeah.
Last night, at least they got a few first downs, thanks to Harburg's legs for the most part.
Yeah.
But they don't even make it like Adrian Martinez couldn't do it. And I don't put this on the players. I put this entirely on the coaches, but I'm just thinking of examples. Couldn't do it under Riley. Couldn't do it under, I mean, the one time we did it under Riley, now that I'm thinking about it, was 2015 Michigan State.
Yeah.
And I think I told you guys this last night, like we got the ball. We had about a minute to go down and score, and Tommy Armstrong was the starting quarterback. And I looked at my wife and I said, this is what Tommy does. Like we're going to go down and score. But like, remember believing that?
Yeah.
Right. I haven't believed that in forever.
No,
no, no confidence.
No. And taking a broader view, like for the rest of this season, the next three games, like I'm going to go into these, like expecting us to get our ass beat because of this expecting to beat anybody. Like expecting to win against UCLA, who's 2-5. There's no reason for us to expect to win. There's none.
It's like Carricker said when he went on. He said, "There's no guarantee, but you don't check any team off on our schedule."
No way.
Confidently saying that
we are so far from being able to do that, and shame, and I guess shame on us for just guzzling the Kool-Aid or the Roulade or whatever.
Yeah.
Earlier in the season, because like this team, the team that played yesterday is so different. Is not nearly the same team that beat Colorado. Like,
and that,
it's so disgustingly bizarre to me.
Yeah. That to me now is just unbelievable that we won that game and the way that and how we won.
They look like a totally different team.
It seems like that was last year.
I don't know what it is either. Like, obviously, the play calling is not good. Like, I think everybody can see that. And it's been under a microscope too, which makes it even more infuriating because we're just waiting for, okay, what's Satterfield going to call here?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I said this too yesterday to you guys and a few other people. I think they've given Dylan, excuse me, good Lord. I think they've given Dylan.
He's getting choked up. He's getting emotional, common fans.
Just a little something in the throat. I think they've given Dylan a lot of control. And I think they've even said, like, he has, you know, the ability to check in and out of things. Like, he's very, very talented, but he's a true freshman. And it's just seemed like more and more as the season's gone on, he has played like a true freshman. And if we're letting a whatever, a 19-year-old kid or whatever, 18-year-old kid check in and out of things, a lot of those plays to me look like he might have checked into the wrong damn thing. And I'm sorry, like I will,
Don't
I'm
apologize.
no, this, I know
Just one common fan's
I think the
opinion.
kid's got great potential. It could be a really, really good one, but I don't know if you want to give him all that control. Like, just run the damn play that's called, or have like a run check. Like, because a lot of these plays where he's like kind of scrambling out and it looks like the play's dead from the beginning, like it doesn't look right. Like,
No,
that's
it
not, to
looks.
me, that I know we haven't had the greatest play calling, but with those plays don't look right. You know, when he's like, okay, he gets the snap, somebody gets through right away and he's scrambling, running for his life, and then he just like chucks the ball into the ground. Like,
So that's,
I don't
oh,
know.
see, you bringing that up is what I was talking about last night. Like, so I guess I posed the question, like, does our offensive line just suck? Are they terrible?
I think
Because
they
I
do,
feel like
Jeff. I mean, hot.
the second we hike the ball, I feel like there isn't even an opportunity for him to think. He just immediately starts running. He's just off, and not in a good way, not running in a good way. He's just scrambling for his life and then chucks up some, dog crap pass that goes nowhere. It's frustrating. I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think our offensive
Well,
line
it doesn't look
is
right. I
well.
think
So, great.
yeah.
Somebody on Twitter made the point last night. Again, we've made clear many times we're not X's and O's guys. Somebody on Twitter made the point last night. Like, it's going to be hard to stop when they're sending six, seven guys every time, which made the point that like they're not respecting our wide receivers, basically. But let's go there with the offense for a minute, guys. It is so clearly not good enough. And what I found myself thinking when we were on defense, actually, and UCLA was looking much better than I expected them to, what I found myself thinking was, why can't we do this? Like, why can't we have games like where we at least scheme up the first couple of drives to something they haven't seen before, and we get points early,
And you get a lead.
and then maybe it's a little bit of a chess match from there or whatever. Every other team seems to be able to do that against us, and we don't seem to be able to do it against them. But again, we felt like they committed to the run better against Ohio State. Now, UCLA came in with a better run defense, at least by the numbers, but also the worst passing de with the second worst passing defense in the Big Ten, I think. But we couldn't do anything. It's pass, run, didn't matter. We couldn't do anything against that defense. And then also, like, it just felt like there were plays where they rolled Garbers out and he had a tight end wide open, or like they were making it easy on him. Whereas we just have Dylan Raiola, the true, like, we have these receivers who, I mean, again, we try to really avoid picking on individual players because they're playing their hearts out most, almost always the case, right? It's not like player, but they seem to have trouble getting open. We're snapping it to Raiola in the shotgun. It's a straight drop back. And you're hoping somebody gets open. And also, I will also say again, he missed guys yesterday. Like, he flat out missed wide open guys. Even on some of the completions, it felt like he threw it a second or two slow at times. And so, to me, that goes back to coaching, that goes back to system. It's probably also like the Big Ten is full of the best coaches in the country, so guys are doing things to probably confuse him that he hasn't seen before. But all the more reason then to build your team around a power run game and not make anything too difficult or complicated on your 19-year-old true freshman quarterback. And I'll say it, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I haven't seen anything on Raiola's injury. I hope he's okay, by the way. And we got a bye week for him to heal. So we'll see what happens. Let Heinrich Harburg have more of a chance. Let him have entire drives. Even, we're not saying replace Raiola. We're not saying Raiola is not the future. We got a five-star quarterback. We need to use him. I'm all for letting him ride, even with the mistakes as a true freshman, fine.
For sure.
But Harburg looks better as a thrower. He's improved as a thrower. He's an elite athlete. We know what he can do with his legs. Make defenses prepare for both of those things. And that might even ease the pressure on Raiola when he comes back in.
Yeah, there
And
you go.
I thought Harburg looked great in that drive
Well, and
yesterday.
it gives us an ability to in the run game. Like, we clearly are not very good at just handing
We
it
don't
off
do
to
that, Owens.
Dowdell or Emmett or Ramir. Like,
Right.
that doesn't. Last year, when Harbaugh was running the show, we had one of the best rushing attacks in the Big Ten. And it was directly because, you know, we had to have him run the ball. But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. You
Yeah.
have to be able to run the ball.
Yeah. I completely agree. So guys, so like, and I,
Whatever.
you know, I yeah.
It's just the thing that I almost, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not just picking on love because I'm not sure friendship exists either. So here, like, here's what it comes down to. And I don't like, I get people wanting people to be fired right now because they're angry. And I think it's always funny. People are always anger tweeting at the Nebraska media and they're like, ask tougher questions. And I'm like, well, did you watch the press conference? Do you even know what questions were asked? I mean, I think the media just, or the fans just want the media to be like, why won't you fire Marcus Satterfield? Or so, you know,
Right.
like, but so I don't expect any firings before the season is over. And I actually understand the argument for not doing that in season. Like, I don't think
Sure.
rules do that, but you know, you cannot get up there and challenge your players to play with a championship mindset and then see what we're seeing from these coaches.
Right.
It's not
Yeah.
okay.
No.
You have the offense is not good enough for the second year in a row. We gave Rhule so much credit for not standing pat in the offseason.
Yeah.
Went and got a bunch of, you know, some true freshman contributors, some transfer portal wide receivers.
Yep.
Obviously Raiola was the big get. Went and got Glenn Thomas, we thought, to help design the offense, to help Satterfield out a little bit and to be a quarterback's coach. And it looked better for a while, but it hasn't looked much different than last year in Big Ten play.
No, and
Definitely.
we're in the
For
and we're in this
most
we're
of
in
conference play.
and we're in the same spot we were last year.
And we're the,
Five and
suddenly,
four with three
suddenly,
games to play.
yep. And so this is like, this is not good enough. And we talked about this last night too. We talked a lot last night after the game, common fans,
Yes, we did. Yes,
over a
we
few
did.
beers, over a few beers. You just it, you have to have some hard questions. This is the
Yeah.
big, this is big boy college, or some hard discussions. This is big time college football. And I'm sorry if this hurts somebody's feelings. And I get that coaches want to be loyal and they want to do it their way and they want to coach with guys they've coached with. You have, I think, somebody should pull up the Mike Schaefer tweet while I'm talking. It was so succinct and perfect. But he's like, basically, you have a program with unlimited resources and unlimited fan support, and you now have the AD directly asking fans to contribute, like not just buy tickets and make donations, but to contribute more of their money to NIL and whatever
Yeah.
else. You're asking fans to contribute to that, and we're getting out coached by a
Yeah.
2-5 team and outplayed by a 2-5 team. Do you
Yeah.
have it
I mean,
on?
you've,
Do you have it
yeah,
on?
you basically just a program that has every possible resource and has a fan base that is asked to not just come to games, but donate to the AD and the collective got out coached, outplayed by a 2-5 UCLA team and is once again wandering in the November wilderness.
Yep.
Oof.
And so, like, don't like again, we've been almost apologists for Matt Rhule on this program.
For
We are
sure.
huge fans of Matt Rhule. No one is saying Rhule should be gone.
No.
And you know, again, we're, you know, but there's only so many times you can say, well, look how bad we've been. It took many years to break it down, so it'll take many years to build it back up.
Yeah,
That doesn't
that excuse doesn't
excuse
work anymore.
yesterday.
Look at
That
freaking
doesn't, no,
Indiana.
it doesn't excuse yesterday.
Yeah.
That doesn't excuse the Illinois game. The Illinois game was there for the taking. So it's not on the players. It's not on Scott
No.
Frost. I guarantee you there's a coach out there who could come in and flip that script. And I again, we're not calling for Rhule's head. But what we are saying is, why do you have such an inept offensive coordinator? Why do you have such an inept special teams coordinator? Why do you have a 12-year-old wide receivers coach? Like, I'm sorry. I'm sure these are all nice people. I'm sure
Yeah.
they all have long careers in coaching. I don't want them out on the street. I don't want their families out on the street. But this is big time college football. We don't make excuses. This is not good enough. We're almost 2 years in now. We have three
Yeah.
games left. We have three games left. We're almost 2 years in now.
Yeah.
Something like, you cannot get up and say
Honeymoon's
you
over a
challenge.
little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't say
Yeah.
you challenge your team to play with a championship mindset. After Ohio State, which they didn't do, and then continue to put up with this bullshit from several of your coordinators and your coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, I look, I
That feel
look all
good? Did that
over.
feel good, TJ? Did that feel
Woo! Oh, that
good?
was
You know what?
great.
I need. I need
Feel
a. You know what? I needed to
good?
go with that. We're recording this the morning after, so it's like, it's is it even 9 o'clock? It's like a little after 9 a.m.
Yeah.
I needed a White Elm Pilsner to go along to go along with that speech. That's what I needed. And a certified Piedmontese burger and a Chick-fil-A, a couple of chicken nuggets with the sauce.
Give me the mac and cheese, damn it.
And the mac and cheese. I'll mix it all together. The nuggets and the mac and cheese and the sauce. I'll mix it all together, Jeff.
Don't do that. Fantastic. Don't do that. Now you're bordering on casserole talk, and I won't tolerate that. Not the day after I humiliated anyone. I won't tolerate it.
All right, Mattio. Sorry, you were saying something.
I don't know what I was going to say. It's all right. We can move on.
Owen's lost in the November wilderness, too. I will say the most entertaining part of that – this is damning for me. The most entertaining part of that game – being there was just trying to get TJ's attention. Like, that's how bad that game was for me. I spent a good portion of the first half just trying to wave at TJ across the stands.
And yeah, you should make clear we were in kind of the same area, but kind of on opposite ends.
Same
section, but opposite ends. And Mattio, you sent me some text about like, I see you. And so, and like, I saw it and I still didn't understand. I was like, he must be meaning to send that to somebody else. Like,
I'm not following you at all.
Yeah. So then I saw you guys. And then I thought, when I saw you guys and we made eye contact, and I thought, we're going to win this game.
Like, yeah.
There we go.
So I don't know, guys. I mean, that's where we are. Like, we're in the wilderness. Like, instead of being 6-3 and thinking to ourselves, you know what? 9-3 is on the table. 8-4 is on the table. We're going to a bowl. Let's start talking about which bowl game we're going to. You know, even if we only get to 7-5, that's improvement.
Wouldn't that be a fun episode to record?
Yeah. No, instead of that, we're literally wondering if
are we going to win or are we going to lose? Are we going to lose? What would that be?
Yeah.
6 straight to finish the season?
To end the season. I mean, that would be
say it out loud. It sounds really awful.
Rule himself, I think, said in the offseason, I don't want to put a number on wins, but not getting to a bowl game. He said something like it would be a disaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to, and we as common fans have to be elated if we can get one more win and go to a bowl game at this point.
Yeah.
I think that's the position we have to take. Because it is November, it is cold, it is dreary. And it's just going to get colder and darker out, guys.
USC lost to Washington yesterday. They're 4-5. Yeah. Wisconsin got manhandled smoked by Iowa, the 42-10. So they're 5-4, 3-3. So like, and then
we're
Iowa.
Kind of,
Iowa
I mean, game, we're in a very similar spot to those two teams right now. Crazy as it is,
we are. But it's like, unfortunately, we can't do this thing where we say, oh, well, they're struggling, so that's probably a win for us.
Because
it's never
gonna
is.
They're going to come out all guns blazing, firing on all cylinders when they play the Big Red, because that's just what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, UCLA look like they've won 6 or 7 games. They're like, we make teams look better than they really are.
Yep, we do.
Right. Well, you know, this is like dark humor. This is like gallows humor when you're about to like be executed, but. I'm just going to share this and we have to laugh about it. When Evan stopped by the tailgate, he stopped by pretty early because he had to get to his day job and get to the press box. We were chatting and again, really cool of him to stop by, really fun to meet him in person.
Yep.
But he was, and I was just like, I was so sure we were going to win that game, guys. I was so confident, not because Nebraska's great, but just because UCLA just like, it was there for the taking, get to bowl eligibility at home.
Get it out.
I had to mute the demons.
Sorry, I had to mute and cough.
There you go.
Oh, here we go. Some more coffee.
That'll help.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, guys. It's an egg casserole, delicious egg casserole stuck in my throat.
That sounds great.
Did you say casserole?
Yeah. Evan said, imagine how dark it will be if they lose this game and we have to talk about not being bowl eligible for 2 weeks. And I was like, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Come on. You're hilarious.
Good one, Evan.
Yeah.
So just so depressing. And I think to your point, Mattio, we have to, at this point, it's bowl game or bust. We got to get that 6th win.
Yeah.
And we can spend the whole offseason talking about how it wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
But when it happens, as we said all of last year, get me that 6th win. Get me to the Vandalay Industries Bowl at 10 a.m.
That again.
10 a.m. kickoff on a random Tuesday in December. I don't care. I'm pulling the kids out of school. We're going to Sheboygan, Wisconsin for the Vandalay Industries Bowl. I don't care. We're treating it like the national championship game.
I can't. I just can't believe we're back to that. We're back to
I
that
know.
Mindset again.
I know. It's
How
so
did this happen?
frustrating. It's so frustrating. But that's what, and then we'll spend the whole offseason dissecting why it wasn't better. But right now, the Common fans are locking in. We're getting in the cockpit, and we're just saying we're fully on board for this team getting to a bowl game, and that's the focus. You got to get those extra practices. You got to get a, you know, get to 6-6, and then you get a W in the bowl game. You're 7-6. People feel a little better about that. Again, we'll talk about a lot of the frustrations in the off season, and hopefully see some changes in the off season. But right now, it's bowl game or bust. And candidly, our two best options are probably at the moment are at USC and Wisconsin at home. I hate to say that. Again, the Iowa game, I feel like, is always a coin flick, no matter how good or bad each team is. I'd love to think we can win that. You know, who thought we were going to win that game in 2022 when we were 4-8? But let's not go to Iowa City still wondering about bowl
With bowl
eligibility.
eligibility
Could
on the
we not
line.
do
God,
that? Could we
please,
not do
God,
that?
and meanwhile, those jackholes out 4 hours east of us are playing some pretty damn good football right
I
now.
know. I
I
know.
mean, that, you know, something that we don't see a lot around here is they're actually improving throughout the season and getting better and finding an identity and knowing what they do well, knowing what their strengths are. And guess what? They're using those strengths.
And it
Yes.
shows.
What strengths do we have? Who the hell knows?
We
No
don't
one
know.
knows. No identity. Don't know what our
Pretty
strengths are.
salty. Common fans are pretty salty here on a Sunday morning after a really disappointing loss.
Yeah,
But you're exactly
salty.
right.
But it's coffee talk with the common fans.
Well, we love you all, Common Fan listeners. Thanks again. You know, I will say, it was just so heartening to see the support at the tailgate yesterday. We really do love doing this. We kind of came into it not knowing if anybody would ever listen outside of our wives or our high school buddies. So it's been cool to kind of to build a community and to have all of you be part of it. And so we're hoping to, I mean, we'll definitely do at least one tailgate a year. We're hoping to figure out some other in-person events too, which would be super cool. So that'll all be after
And
we get to the Mandalay Industries Bowl. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
that was just really cool, just because we didn't really promote it too much, like on social media. So a lot of the ways that people found out about this was through listening to the program. So that's pretty cool that we have active listeners that showing their support and actually continuing to listen to us. That was pretty awesome. And then shout out to the Common Wives for showing up yesterday and
Yes,
putting up with our shenanigans.
all three Common fan wives were there. Yeah, shout out to all of our beautiful babies, our spouses, for all that. It takes a lot of time. Like, I'm recording this right now, and then we've got to head to the airport and like travel halfway across the country. Like, we fit this in. We all have jobs, we all have kids, and our wives are so patient and so supportive, and they even occasionally listen. Not all the time, but
Yeah, sometimes.
sometimes.
Yeah, once in a
My
while.
wife listens to every episode. She listens to every one of them.
Jeff's wife
Yeah.
is
She's
a
a dedicated
avid
listener.
listener.
She
Yeah,
is. She
she
listens to
is.
every one
She
of them.
is. And we appreciate it. We appreciate it.
We
Absolutely.
do.
So great to see everybody yesterday. Well, that will be amidst the madness of the loss. That will be a warm and fuzzy feeling as I try to deal with three kids traveling halfway across the country today.
May
So,
God be with
yes.
you.
Amen. Thank you. All
Corn
right, Common
cobs.
fans. Well, we'll have, oh, corn cobs. Corn cobs.
No
I
players getting
almost
corn cobs.
just dropped an F-bomb and just said forget it. All right, corn. We're gonna give a collective corn cob to everybody who showed up to the tailgate yesterday. Okay, you all get a corn cob. We love
Thank you for
you
coming.
all. Thank you for coming. I'm gonna give my corn cob to Certified Piedmontese
Very
for
good.
providing the delicious beef. Thanks to Joe, our partner over there, who's just been phenomenal, and the whole partnership has been so cool for us since we started this. We love promoting CP Beef, and I'm not joking, everybody loved it yesterday.
Yes, they
So,
did.
CP Beef, you get a corn cob.
Woo! I'm gonna go with Chick-fil-A and my man Charlie Colon. Good dude.
Friend of the
Mac and
program.
cheese sticks. He said sticks to the inside of your rib cage. We need that mac and cheese.
We
So
need
damn good.
to
So
have
thank you,
Charlie.
Charlie.
We'll have Charlie. Charlie's been on the pod a few times. We'll have him back on maybe for our offseason predictions episode again. That was really fun when we
Yeah,
did that
it's
last
awesome.
time.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going corn cob for me to White Elm Brewing, providing some beer to the tailgate. Great local brewer. Support your
It was
local
delicious.
craft brewers. They do a great job over there. Czech Pilsner was fantastic. Corn cob to White Elm Brewing.
Boom.
No, brilliant. Thank you all for the support. All right, guys. Guys, it's a in the bye week. Try to think about something else. Do something else. You know what? If however you feel about this is perfectly acceptable because we put up a nut with enough of this bullshit as common fans, and it's got to be better. So
Yeah.
we'll get refocused. We'll get back to positivity. We'll get back to getting in the cockpit and just pushing for that bull game.
Let's go.
But at whatever you got to do to exercise some anger in the bye week, as long as within the bounds of morality and legality,
Yes.
is perfectly acceptable. And as always, we'll be here. We'll be here. We'll have multiple episodes in the coming week,
All are welcome. Safe place,
and
guys.
USC the bye week and the USC game week. We'll have, I think, probably three or four total episodes. So
Yeah.
you can always the common fans are always here for you. The Nebraska Cornhuskers football team may not always show up, but the
Right.
common
But
fans
we do. We always
always
show
show
up.
up. That's right. That's right. All right. We love you all, common fans. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at you soon with an Evan Bland episode early to mid-week. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.